Are they close to getting a quorum?
We will call this meeting to order. We will proceed without a quorum to get started, but I see that we have an author here. We'll let Mr. Mainshine come forward and present AB 181, members. And you may proceed when ready.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Chair and members, AB 181 reconciles a conflict between federal and state law by clarifying that military hazardous waste facilities are not required to pay advanced fees for permit applications to the California Department of Toxic Substances Control. This is a new legal conflict brought about by a 2016 trailer bill, which created a new fee-for-service program requiring 25% of the cost to be paid upfront for hazardous waste facility permits. However, federal law prohibits the military from engaging in advance payments. The military operates seven hazardous waste facilities throughout the state on a 10-year permit timeline in support of the military's national security mission and to protect public safety and health. As an example of one of these facilities is one on the Naval Base Coronado in San Diego County that treats and consolidates a variety of hazardous waste streams. This permit is currently up for renewal. The military will still be required to pay all reasonable service charges associated with a permit renewal and all other charges approved by a specific appropriation of federal law. Here with me to testify in support is Gareth Smythe from the United States Navy.
Thank you very much, Chair Allen. Members, appreciate you fitting us in today. Really appreciate your time. The Assembly member said everything that I was going to say perfectly well. We appreciate his constant support for the military in this state. As he said, the military owns seven hazardous waste facilities in the state. Those are operated under a 10-year permit at DTSC, and the military has historically paid the full fee to DTSC without incident. However, we recently discovered upon applying for renewal that a 2016 trailer bill levied a 25% advance payment requirement by the department before they process fees. Now, the discrepancy is that federal fiscal law prohibits us from paying any fees in advance of reimbursable work. However, once DTSC staff time can point to the work that they've done to process the fee, then we can pay for the full cost of the permit. AB 181 simply clarifies that federally owned facilities are not required to pay the fee. Because of this, this fix is very timely as the Navy's permit at Naval Base Coronado in the Pro Tems District is up for renewal December 2019, and DTSC has been unable to process our application because of the advance fee discrepancy. Thank you for your time, urge your support for this bill, and thank the author again for his support.
Okay. Do we have anyone else who wants to speak in support of the bill? Wachowski, are you going to speak in support? Oh, there we go. See, that's the kind of love.
It's even better.
Wow.
It's here for this bill.
That's even more meaningful, Mr. Chair.
Anyone else want to? That said it all. Opposition, concerns? Okay. Well, the senator said it best.
Yeah.
Questions, thoughts? No? All right. We do not have a quorum yet, but we will when the second we have the next senator here. And we do appreciate are you civilian side? Is that?
Yeah, civilian government affairs, right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we'll take a bill up when we have a quorum. But we're certainly recommending a recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Okay. Next, we will go to AB 1080. That's Assembly Member Gonzalez. We welcome you here to committee. I slur it together.
You know the difference between us. Yes. It's okay, people are still learning.
Yeah.
But I know you know.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it. Assembly member. It's senator. It sounds similar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you know, our environment's being overrun by litter. Our local governments are being flooded by waste, and our communities can't afford to clean up what is happening today. AB 1080 would ensure California is on the forefront of reducing pollution for single-use packaging and certain food services by establishing a comprehensive goal of reducing our waste from these items 75% by 2030 through source reduction, composting, and recycling, including specified interim recycling rates. The bill now would direct CalRecycle to develop regulations to achieve these goals, require manufacturers to source reduce these items to the extent feasible, and ensure that they are fully recyclable or compostable by 2030. Since you last saw the bill, we've had many conversations with administration and business stakeholders that have resulted in significant amendments. The recycling rates in the bill are now material neutral, so as to not pick winners and losers among material types, and do not result in a corrective action plan or penalty until 2028. The implementation plan includes evaluating potential end-use markets for material and evaluating transitioning other recycling programs. The role of the retailers has been clarified under the bill. The baseline calculation for waste reduction has been streamlined with existing surveys by CalRecycle. The source reduction checklist includes considerations such as product protection and shelf life and as suggested by the stakeholders. We have clarified that no regulations developed under this bill will conflict with federal regulations or laws. The bill allows for exemptions for small businesses. We have added an independent stakeholder panel to consult and provide recommendations to CalRecycle. Minimum standards for producers choosing to form a stewardship organization have been added, and we've added the ability for CalRecycle to charge a regulatory fee for the cost of their workload implementing the program, which is how similar programs under the department are funded. Most recently, we also amended the bill to phase in producers under the bottle bill in 2026 to this bill, such that we credit them for investment and work that they have already done as part of the program, but still ensure that they eventually are subject to the required recycling rates and regulations. With these changes, among others, the California Grocers Association and Dow Chemical Company are in support. There are also a number of stakeholders that became neutral: the American Chemistry Council, Procter & Gamble, SC Johnson Consumer Technology Association, Technic, the California Retailers Association, and the Consumer Healthcare Products Association. This bill has also been taken off the California Chamber of Commerce job killer list. I respectfully ask, you know. Yeah. Sometimes you lose your own job killer. Dang it. Just joking, of course. But thank you, of course, to the chairman. Your staff and my staff and all the stakeholders have gone through so much to try to create a bill with the administration that everybody can support. Obviously, we can't get everybody to support it, right, but I think we're on a path to get most people's buy-in. And I think it was due to a lot of work by, of course, yourself as well on the companion measure.
And I want to thank you tremendously, and Senator Skinner and her staff as well. It's been a long, long, long road, but we really do appreciate your comments and your leadership on this, and your staff's as well. Let's hear from your witnesses in support.
Hi, Irmer, and on behalf of the California Grocers Association, want to thank the author and you, Senator Allen, as well as their staffs for all the work that's gone into this. We really appreciate the amount of work that's been done listening to all the stakeholders. We are in support because we appreciate the changes made that acknowledges that food is different and food packaging is different, and that food safety be held as the utmost consideration when looking at packaging. We're satisfied that with the off-ramps provided that are very reasonable, as well as some of the local guidelines for some local ordinances, that we feel comfortable that a lot of our companies that are already doing a lot of these things that the bill asks, that they can continue to do so and send market signals that that California is heading this way, and it will allow for a lot of our companies to start doing work in supply chains and manufacturing to get to the goals set out by this bill. So with that, we are in strong support of the bill. Thank the author.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mark Apre, I'm here on behalf of Republic Services. We want to thank the author and her staff for the diligent work that through the time leading up to this hearing, to your staff and the staff of Senator Skinner, and all the efforts by all the stakeholders. We said it at a hearing when SB 54 was in its first policy committee hearing that this is a big deal. This continues to be a big deal, and we continue to support this measure, and we urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Okay, let me just point out, before we can have folks who want to add on and support to line up, but I do want to point out that Scott Smithline, who is the head of CalRecycle, is here. I know that some members might very well want to ask him questions for technical help. So let me also take this moment to just establish a quorum. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Allen.
Here.
Senator Bates.
Here.
Present. Here. Senator Dolly. Here. Senator Hill. Senator Skinner. Senator Stern. Wachowski.
Okay, so we've got a quorum. Thank you. And why don't we now give folks the opportunity who want to add on support. Thank you, Mark.
Good afternoon. Thank you, both. With Californians Against Waste here in support. And we also want to echo the comments about the tremendous work of the staff and the authors for these bills. Thank you.
Genevieve Abaddon on behalf of Natural Resources Defense Council and Clean Seas Lobbying Coalition in strong support.
Melissa Romero with the California League of Conservation Voters in strong support.
Emily Rush on behalf of CalPERG and Environment California in strong support. As the witness said, this is a big deal. Thanks.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. Derek Dolphy on behalf of League of California Cities. I want to thank the Assemblywoman and the Chair and Senator Skinner and her staff and everyone's staff for the great work. Thank you.
Scott Sadler on behalf of Defenders of Wildlife in support.
Nikita Karate with the Natural Resources Defense Council in support.
Lucas Frericks on behalf of the Nature Conservancy in support.
Just Malone for the local environmental health directors, Heal the Bay and the Compost Coalition in strong support.
Brandon Dawson with Sierra Club California in support.
Priscilla Kados here on behalf of Stop Waste, California Product Stewardship Council, National Stewardship Action Council, and City of Santa Monica and Los Angeles in support.
Juan Altamirano with Audubon California in support.
Annalise Rivero on behalf of Azul in support.
Brandon Garcia with CRNR Environmental Services and Rethink Waste in support.
Kayla Robinson on behalf of Seventh Generation, Friends of the LA River, and Breast Cancer Prevention Partners in support. Thank you.
Jennifer Fearing for Oceana in strong support.
Alejandro Solis on behalf of ILWU in support.
John Kennedy, RCRC, on behalf of the rural counties in support. Thank you.
Kara Martinson on behalf of the California State Association of Counties in support.
Kelly Jensen on behalf of Recology in strong support.
Mr. Chair and members, Trent Smith on behalf of the Consumer Healthcare Products Association, now neutral with the most recent amendments.
Mr. Chair, Melissa Mlex and Anheuser-Busch, now neutral with the recent amendments. Thank you.
Reed Addis on behalf of the Local Conservation Corps in strong support.
Dennis Loper for the California Beer and Beverage Distributors and for Abbott Labs, now neutral. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Anthony Molina on behalf of the American Beverage Association, removing our opposition. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Chair members, RJ Sotomayor on behalf of the Consumer Technology Association, now neutral. Thank you very much.
And what about the beer? Oh, okay.
Mr. Loper did it, but I'll...
Okay, yeah. Well, you might as well tell us again. Tell us again. Just to remind everybody, all the hard work. Okay, all right. Yes, now, there can't possibly be anybody here in opposition. I mean, after all that's happened this summer, my good friend, Mr. Robson, what do you have to tell us?
Well, I reluctantly have to oppose the bill. So I'm here on behalf of the Glass Packaging Institute. We'd ignored this bill, or not ignored it. We'd stayed off this bill for we stayed off this bill for a long time because it was a bill that was designed and by its title was the Plastics Circular Economy, you know, Reduction Act of 2020 or 2019 or whatever, and we were fine with that. You know, there's 12 findings in the bill. There's 12 findings in the bill. 8 of them are an indictment on plastic, and you know, the glass container industry for 30 years has been competing against container types in the beverage industry that what we believe is an unfair level. You know, we've been paying processing fees and supporting the bottle bill for 30 years, and there's a lot of packaging that is now that used to be in glasses and other products. And so this is an opportunity to start leveling the playing field for these packaging materials for a glass package that we already believe is a circular product. Doesn't belong in this bill. And then as this bill evolved over time, and especially after last week when the regulatory authority and the fee authority went into the bill, all of a sudden we see this bill and everything you eliminated all the words plastic throughout the bill. So now when I read the bill, I read
the glass package, because it is a single-use product under the definition of the bill. So every time I read single-use product, all I read is glass. So this bill is now a glass bill. It was a plastic bill, but now it's a glass bill. And that's the way my client reads it, and it's unfortunate. The glass container is 100% recyclable. A glass bottle can be a glass bottle as long as it's handled properly. We have, in the state of California, the glass manufacturers in California are making bottles at 43.5% recycled content. 43.5%. The mandate is 35%. There's some bottles coming from other parts of the world that are probably coming in at 50, 60, 70%. We pay fees to support the recycling infrastructure. We've been paying them forever. We already pay a secondary processor to process our glass. So some of the things that you guys want for all these other container types, we already do. There's a secondary processing industry in California that we support by buying that product from them. The glass container manufacturers in California made 890,000 tons of glass last year. 980,000 tons of glass last year, and 890,000 tons of glass went back into either glass containers or fiberglass. So we're basically at 89% reuse, yet we're going to get put into a regulatory feed program that is undefined and unlimited by this legislature. You're going to give it all to CalRecycle and let them figure it out. And there's a lot of things with that that we have issues with, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of limits on that fee authority. And, you know, CalRecycle gets to decide what is reasonable. I mean, I don't know, it's 100 employees reasonable, 1,000 employees reasonable for them to manage these products. And I know, because I've talked to Senator Allen, I've talked to you a lot, and I appreciate everything you've said to me. There's just a there was a law that passed in, oh, I don't know, it was like 1995. It was a hazardous waste, toxics and packaging law that was all about, and the committee analyses were all about toxics and plastics and all these different plastic containers and things. But the first thing the Department of Toxics did coming out the gate after that was implemented was come after glass. Don't know why. So that's kind of that's the faith that we have in the bureaucracy, unfortunately. And we'd ask for a no vote. I mean, we'd rather you start from scratch and take glass out of this than push this forward. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, my only comments are glass was always in the bill. We do specifically exempt all the folks who are subject to the bottle bill all the way up till 2026. And that's why folks like the American Beverage have dropped opposition. And Prop 26 is the one that sets the limits on the regulatory stuff. So, you know, it's not some haphazard system. But
we started with the bill. So at the end of the process, you have a bill where the glass container industry, the 100% recyclable product, is opposing a bill that the American Chemistry Council and the plastics industry and all these other people, they're now neutral. Well, so that's where we're at.
A ton of people involved with glass are actually not in opposition. But we're going to keep working on you, Robson. Right? We're going to get you, man. We're going to get you. Okay. Yes, sir.
Senator Allen, Assemblywoman, thank you. John Hewitt, on behalf of the grocery manufacturers, I'll echo the acknowledgments of your both your work and staff's work, and you know, throughout the summer and on this bill and on this process. But unfortunately, we do still remain opposed to the bill. We have a variety of concerns that remain. I'll try to narrow it down to just two, if possible. And the first being that, you know, we believe the bill still layers an unquantified regulatory program on top of our broken recycling system. And in addition, creates the possibility of a parallel privatized system that could continue to undermine our public infrastructure and our public recycling system. We think we can continue to work on that. We think we can continue to make improvements in that space and in that area. And then secondly, that, you know, we believe that the bill still doesn't allocate and fully share the responsibility throughout the waste and recycling stream and system on everybody in an equitable fashion. I think we said from one of our very first meetings that we had with yourself and the Assemblywoman that the CPG industry has committed and is and remains committed to making things recyclable, compostable. We can do that, we are doing that, and we're committed to making 100% of the single-use packaging recyclable, compostable. But after we make it, you know, there are other parts of that waste stream. notably consumers, as well as other pieces of infrastructure and turning local governments. There's nothing to preclude us in the bill from making that product recyclable, compostable, and only to have somebody, through no fault of their own, throw it away, or for a waste entity or hauler to landfill it for economic considerations or reasons. And so we've been committed to working on this bill with you all, with both of you. We remain committed. We'd like to continue that, you know, that commitment and work on this through the interim. And for those reasons, we continue to remain opposed, but again, willing and wanting to make an improvement to the system to make sure that we have the infrastructure necessary to support what we have. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Anthony Arsenault, I'm with GMP Local 17M. On behalf of the glass workers in the state of California, there's about 1,200 of us right now. It's an industry that's been decimated by outsourcing and various other things. We look at this bill as a potential job killer in our industry, and not just in California, but across the nation. This bill could potentially hurt good glass jobs across the nation. And the reason why I say good glass jobs is because these jobs are high-paying, high-wage union jobs. And just the way that the bill is currently written, we're not comfortable with supporting, so we have to oppose it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Dawn Kepke on behalf of the California Manufacturers and Technology Association. CMTA is unfortunately still remains opposed. As you may be aware, CMTA represents packaging and commodity manufacturers across the spectrum that would be affected by this bill, not only plastics, but also glass, paper, and metal cans as well, and certainly the CPG companies that would be in scope. We continue to be concerned for the reasons that the prior speakers have raised. Additionally, raised concerns related to the emergency rulemaking authority for, among other provisions of the bill, the fee setting, which eliminates the ability for meaningful engagement of stakeholders regarding that fee setting, as well as other concerns, as noted, about infrastructure, broad scope of authority, additionally, ability to set up deposit schemes, as well as advanced disposal fees, what have you, potentially as part of the department's authority. So with that, we must remain opposed, but appreciate the ongoing conversation and look forward to continuing that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Trudy Hughes with the California League of Food Producers. And again, thank you so much for all of your work on this. And we want to continue the dialogue. I'd like to echo the comments made by Mr. Hewitt on behalf of the food industry. We continue to have concerns specifically with the infrastructure issues.
Now, just a procedural thing for my committee. I guess the folks who spoke in support or said they were coming off neutral did not give the long range of reasons as to why the various accommodations we made to industry so as to make the bill more palatable. I'm happy to have hear everyone's kind of individual concerns about the bill, but then I think it would be fair for us to have a more robust conversation on the pro side or the neutral side to kind of fully explain. So typically people will just kind of voice opposition, but I just want to kind of throw out to everybody what's fair here, because otherwise it'll give the impression that we've got all this industry concern, even though I've got literally a full page of folks who came off of opposition because of various things that we've done to help get them there. So I just want to kind of, I'm happy for folks to raise a couple concerns, but I like to kind of, I want you to keep that fairness issue in mind in terms of how we move this conversation forward.
You bet. I'll just end by saying, unfortunately, we have to continue to oppose.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Kelly Astor on behalf of the California Refuse Recycling Council and on behalf of three other regional trade associations, we have moved regrettably from support to oppose in light of the September 6th amendments, particularly the references to EPR.
Always in the bill, but okay.
Adam Regley on behalf of the California Chamber of Commerce. Happy to have that discussion. I don't want to monopolize. We have big concerns still over infrastructure. The authors, CalRecycle's own reports, admit it is impossible to comply with the mandates in the bill without addressing infrastructure. It's the biggest gap in the bill. We did remove job killer, but we are strongly opposed, and the bill to Lorena's Gonzalez, we worked diligently with your staff to remove that, and so we appreciate continuing to work with you, but we still have grave concern. Thanks.
What do you say? What do you mean?
Mr. Chair, Mandy Lee on behalf of the Personal Care Products Council in opposition.
Thank you.
Nicole Quinones for the Household and Commercial Products Association, still opposed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dennis Albion on behalf of the Almond Alliance, the California Grain and Feed, California Seed, and the Associated California Egg Farmers, opposed.
John Moffat on behalf of Waste Management. We have an opposed unless amended position.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members. Paul Bauer on behalf of the Californians for Recycling and the Environment in opposition to the bill.
When was that founded, that organization?
Earlier this year.
Mr. Chairman, members, Paul Gladfelter representing S.C. Johnson, was a maker of household products. We have gone from opposed to neutral, so I'm one of those.
Tell us about that.
Let me tell you a little bit about that. All I can say is there was a lot of work that went into this bill. It's not a perfect bill, but certainly there's been a lot of concerns that have been addressed from our perspective, dealing with penalties, dealing with a variety of other issues, that we feel as though it's in a good enough shape that we went neutral on the bill. So for that, thank you. I want to thank the chair and Assemblymember Gonzalez and Nancy Senator Skinner's office, because they've all worked very hard to get to this point. So.
Very much so. And we gave you a special shout out, Senator Skinner, for your really hard work on this. Yes.
Melissa Werner with the Family Winemakers of California in opposition. Thank you.
And I am not here in opposition, but I'm with Susan Little with the Environmental Working Group, just in support. I'm sorry I missed the.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Double-breasted suit. I love it.
Randy Perry with the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers opposed.
Okay, great. A lot of excitement, some new news in various ways. So this matter, I do want to point out my friend from the USW, the bill does call for incentives for in-state manufacturing, and it directs CalRecycle to avoid shipping material out of the country. We can certainly work to avoid it. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the bill, ultimately, what's strange to me is that we have some folks in glass, and as I say, a bunch of people in the glass industry have come on and support or neutral, but it is strange to me that we've got some folks who are raising concerns about a bill that's designed to ensure that all packaging meets the same rates as glass. So I continue to believe, I'm an optimist, and I think we're going to kind of help to work with you and explain how we're going to get there. Yes, there we are. This is what we want. All right. So let's now open the floor to questions. Senator Skinner.
Certainly I want to encourage there to be questions and discussions, but I want to move the bill. Just because we've got a short time before I have to go back to the floor. And I want to thank my staff and everybody who really worked hard on this. This has been an enormous undertaking. Certainly the opposition can raise some issues, and I do not question their either issues or their motivation. But I think what is very wise about the bill is that it establishes the Economic Advisory Group of industry, waste haulers, local governments, and others. It does not try to write all the regs. We didn't try to cross every T and dot every I so that we can allow that process, more stakeholder to figure it out. And I think given who the authors are and just the nature of our process, that if we really find these fatal flaws that will affect these, we will come back and fix it. We will. So I'm just very, very proud that we have the hope of moving this forward given the crisis that we're in. And as a comment to, I forget who said the organization that they knew was newly created that they represent, as an activist in Berkeley in the early 80s, we used to create many organizations to support our different efforts. And around the very first in the U.S. 50% recycling goal we created, before Berkeley Friends of Recycling, the Berkeleyans Against Waste, all kinds. We had at least five groups with a few different members in each one. But anyway, so
but if only you had the funding.
No, we just had. We could just expand our list of who is supportive things. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Senator. Thank you, Senator. Okay, questions, thoughts, other concerns. I do want to thank the author for all of her hard work, and I mean this really has been such a group effort, and we've just extraordinary staff engagement on this as well. I will say it is personally disappointing that when we've had such a robust process over the summer that, as I say, has gotten
so much opposition off to have some folks kind of come up and, you know, raise concerns so late in the game. But, you know, we do remain really committed to just working closely with everybody and seeing if we can get there. Because in the end of the day, this is such an enormous problem that we're trying to address here. The issues keep getting worse. The bottom line keeps getting more problematic, both for our cities and also for our companies, anyone involved in waste management. And so I thank you for your leadership on this, Assembly Member. So thoughts? Do you want to make any reaction to folks?
I have a couple. Okay. First of all, you can call me by my first name anytime, but it's Lorena, not Lorena or Lorena Chamber. Lorena. If you're
Lorena.
Thank you. And I'm serious about that. I don't mind the first name, but let's get it right. I would say this. Some of the thoughts that were brought up, I don't disagree, right? And I know that Senator Skinner has talked about what we need to do about infrastructure and has some commitments in the future. That's a real problem. We've got a chicken and egg thing going on here. And we know that in order to create the type of environment where we need to invest in that infrastructure, we have to create the goals. I mean, and we've seen that. That's why we're in this situation. So I don't want to suggest that we're ready. We will be ready, though.
Yes.
The second thing I want to point out is to the steelworkers. If I thought for a minute that this was going to jeopardize good union jobs, I wouldn't be here. I actually think that everything about this bill is a reinvestment of good union jobs in California, a state where we need them. And it's not only glass, because the incentives to manufacture here, but also in recycling and in the entire circular economy provides us opportunity to actually create jobs in California, which we know are far more likely to be union jobs. And in fact, I think we'll demand that they're good paying union jobs. That's part of why I am committed to this bill. So I understand the fear of change and the fear of like what could happen out of this. But I do want to say I want to ensure the workers that I don't see any aspect of this that will cost good union jobs. And to glass, it's kind of hard to sit here when they talk about how they're completely recyclable and that they can't somehow fit into this recyclable goals, you know. So I think I understand the concern. We have been very clear, and we're very clear by the administration that this has to be material neutral, and I think that's a good thing. I also don't think it's going to be too much of a stretch for glass to hit the goals, especially with the delay to 2026 from the bottle bill. So with that, I just want to address those small concerns, and I respect.
Well, I know. So Senator our vice Bates. Chair actually, our vice chair requested that we have the head of CalRecycle come in and just answer a couple of questions about infrastructure.
Thank you.
So if you wouldn't mind, thank you.
Thank you. What's always troubled me serving on EQ, it's a great committee, very challenging, and we're doing great things. And thank you for what you guys are doing. Absolutely, we know it's extremely important to what we see going on in the recycling world. But what troubles me is we certainly delegate too much responsibility and not enough, a role for legislators to our bureaucracies. That's always my problem. If it comes back to us because we represent all those people out there on both sides of the issue, then we're able to kind of fix things that don't work. So nothing in this bill tells us how you are going to address the infrastructure issues that are currently causing the crisis. You need so many more employees to do all this, and it's a very short timeline. So help us understand to begin with. We have a few specific questions. There's a new fee, I understand. So there's no statutory limit on fees. And I like to go there first because everything sounds great, and then all of a sudden it's costing, you know, a gazillion dollars, and that falls on the consumers and on the producers. So, you know, those are things that are a major issue that we need to have some parameters, some bookends from you on how you'll approach that. That happened with AB 32 when it went to Air Quality Management District and the ARB. Those were huge issues. We've helped greatly, I think, over the couple of years to rein in some of that. But start with that, and I'm sorry our time is so limited, but let you at least put it on the table, because I think we'll need to be back here to talk about some of the, unintended consequences that are going to come out of implementation of something that's very complex at the moment.
Sure. thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members.
I'm Scott Smith, line director of CalRecycle. Maybe if I could just start by saying, appreciate many of the comments that were made here today. Certainly the approach, as we perceive it, that has been worked out through the last month of this bill is one that maximizes flexibility of compliance. And that's something that is important to the department. There's been a number of conversations, some of them later in the process, but substantive nonetheless, that address product safety, food safety, de minimis amounts of difficult to handle materials, materials with unique challenges, small business exceptions, off-ramps, the ability for us to form a work group, the circular economy group that will meet regularly and report back and make decisions about whether we should be adjusting and these requirements that are in the bill. So we strongly support that approach. I just wanted to mention that. Specifically with respect to the fee has a very specific purpose as outlined here. The fee is to cover the reasonable cost of implementation of this program. So there's no ability for the department to raise a fee to, say, start a new incentive program or something like that. We don't have the ability to do that. And we're governed by the regulatory process, obviously. And one of the key components of the regulatory process, and one that is very important to us, is that the burden is upon the department to develop regulations that are the least burdensome as possible. And that's the standard that we're held to when we submit regulations to OAH. So that standard would apply to us with respect to that fee as well. So there is no carte blanche. There is no we can set the fee wherever we want. We have to develop regulations that will achieve the requirements in the statute, the goals that need to be met. We have a process laid out for how we're going to do that, including an implementation plan and working with the stakeholders. But ultimately, that fee will just be covered the reasonable cost of implementing this program. I hope that's responsive.
You're also tethered by Prop 26.
That's the language from Prop 26, actually. Yeah. I mean, that is the requirement on us is literally just the minimum cost to implement the program. And we must do so in the manner that's the least burdensome, and that includes attempting to minimize that fee.
Yep. And I would like to know who would be, you talked about stakeholders, who's at the table? Because the costs are determined by the producers, and so often those aren't legitimately analyzed when we look at what it costs to administer the program from the other side, from the bureaucracy.
So the bill has two primary stages, if you will. There is an early stage where the department will immediately need to get some things in place, so we will need to develop some reporting requirements, develop packaging categories, et cetera, that need to be done so we can give the sort of the longest on-ramp, if you will, to the producers who have a responsibility under the program. But the main regulatory component of the bill will be done through an implementation plan. And we will be working, as we always do with all stakeholders, but in particular, this bill requires us to develop the Circular Economy and Waste Pollution Reduction Panel. On that panel is going to be, so it's local governments, waste management, environmental groups, product or packaging manufacturers, and product or packaging designers and recyclers. And the bill actually requires us to do it in a balanced way so that we make sure that we have a balanced voice on that panel. And that panel not only will help us develop the regulations, but that's also the same panel that we work with on a regular basis to determine whether or not we should be adjusting those recycling rates that are required in the bill.
Well, I'd have to speak to the chairman on this one, but it would be nice if we could see coming back to this committee those draft regulations and how they've been formatted and formulated with all the stakeholders, because the issues brought up here today, sounds like everybody in this room is really on the same page. Everybody wants to solve the problem. But there are people who feel that there are unintended consequences because so much of it is kind of vague, maybe the work in progress issue. So I'm going to withhold my vote today. I want to hear more about it. And I know our chairman has worked very diligently from the time it was first heard on this side to try to address those. But I think it's critical, certainly for the producers and the consumers, that we get a better handle on the impacts and the fact that you will be successful since we've had so many issues. And you guys have been required to do a heck of a lot in the last 10 years. So we understand that. But more needs to be done. And I think we need to have a better responsibility in terms of the way it impacts consumers and producers. So thank
you for that. I will say, so first of all, I appreciate the vice chair's comments. There are very stringent reporting requirements, including right after the plan. And I know that I think I can speak on behalf of everyone in the committee, I'm sure on both sides of the aisle, that there will be a lot of interest in maintaining strict oversight over the implementation of this bill if it passes, and there will be a lot of place for legislative engagement.
Well, let me say this, Chairman Allen, and certainly for Assemblyman. Let me see if I, Lorena. You both have been very open to people traipsing through your office and through your lives all since this was introduced. But obviously, when you take on something this magnitude and this huge impact, that's something that you that's a challenge. But thank you for doing that.
We asked for it.
I do, yeah, but more needs to be done. I mean, we were very concerned. I think I brought that up to you at the outset.
Mm-hmm.
After you were the new dad, I said, do you know how many items are made for new babies mm-hmm. that are made from products that would be outlawed with this particular bill? And you said, yeah. So there's an awareness and an awakening there, but more needs to be done.
Yeah, though we, and I appreciate that. I mean, I will say, you know, we have language about health and safety, making sure that there would be absolutely no, you know, compromise on health and safety standards. In addition, if impossibility, I mean, if there's literally a product that's, you know, there's not a kind of viable alternative. And then we've also done things like, you know, exempt infant formula packaging right. and other things along those lines. I will say on this fee issue that has been brought up, you know, one of the reasons why the Glass folks who have dropped their opposition were so anxious to make a key change, which was to, if you were in the bottle bill, and if you're in the CVRP program and you were meeting your rates, you are exempted from this bill until 2026. And then part of that's because they were nervous that they would be, you know, double charged effectively for the, you know, CVRP and for the infrastructure build out of SB 5410, AB 1080. And so as to protect them from any possibility of there being kind of a double charge, we made it really clear in the bill. And I think that's part of why so many folks on the beverage manufacturing side, you know, felt comfortable enough with that change to move off of opposition. So we're going to keep working. We're going to keep working, Robeson. We're going to keep working. All right. So... other final questions? So there's been a motion. If you'd like to close, Assemblymember.
Respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Motion by Senator Skinner. Secretary, please call the roll.
Item number 2, AB 1080. The motion is that the measure be returned to the Senate floor for consideration. Allen.
Aye.
Allen, aye. Bates. Not voting. Dolly. Hill.
Aye.
Hill, aye. Skinner.
Aye.
Skinner, aye. Stern.
Aye.
Stern, aye. Wieckowski.
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye.
Thank you, members. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for all your work, everybody.
We have
Oh, we got to take up another bill. Yes. So can I hear a motion for Assemblymember Mainshine's AB 181?
Moved
by Senator Wieckowski. Secretary, please call the roll.
Item number 1, AB 181 by Assemblymember Manshine. The motion is due pass to the Appropriations Committee. Allen.
Aye.
Allen, aye. Bates.
Aye.
Bates, aye. Dolly. Hill.
Aye.
Hill, aye. Skinner.
Aye.
Skinner, aye. Stern.
Aye.
Stern, aye. Wieckowski.
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, staff. We're adjourned.